Imperturbable Endurance, Fritz Onisch, Bonhoeffer's Forgotten Friend, by Paul R. House. Introduction. One of the benefits of studying Dietrich Bonhoeffer is learning about his friends. Many, such as Eberhard Bethge, Bonhoeffer's biography, are well known. Others have been neglected or forgotten. Fritz Onisch is the least deserving member of that group. Onisch provides a model of faithful endurance that equals Bonhoeffer's. His endurance occurred in local, obscure places, which makes him an excellent model for all of us. Part 1. Pastor's Kid and Polio Victim. Friedrich Fritz Onisch was born in 1911. His father, also named Friedrich, was a pastor who became one of the lions of the Confessing Church. When he was 8, Fritz contracted polio, the stealthy, crippling disease of that era. His right leg was permanently damaged. The family moved to Kuzlin, population 30,000, in Pomerania in 1922, in part to get Fritz the medical treatment he needed. His father served as pastor of St. Mary's Church and as district superintendent for over 20 Lutheran churches in the area. Kuzlin was Fritz's home base the rest of his life. Part 2. With Bonhoeffer in Zingst and Finkenwalde. By April 1935, Onisch had chosen to seek ministry in the Confessing Church, a small minority within the Protestant Church. Thus, he was sent to the new seminary that Dietrich Bonhoeffer started at Zingst that eventually resettled at Finkenwalde near Stettin. Onisch and 4 other students from Pomerania took a westward train to Zingst, arriving at the seaside town late on a cold, blustery night. If the 5 men walked the 2 kilometers from the train station to the seminary site, then Onisch limped the whole distance. They found a warm welcome. Over the next 4 terms, Fritz became an indispensable part of the seminary's ministry while also serving as assistant pastor at a local church. He was one of the members of the Household of the Brethren, a ministry team that lived at the seminary and pooled their salaries. Fritz became the household manager, charged with keeping the household accounts and managing the building and grounds. He fulfilled these duties while preaching and conducting confirmation classes at his church. In the 5th and last semester at Finkenwalde, he also became academic director and teacher of Old Testament. He was at the seminary when the Gestapo came to close it in September 1937. As the Confessing Church considered next steps for seminary work, Fritz kept serving his local church. On November 18, 1937, he was jailed for leading intercessory prayer for imprisoned pastors and for taking up an offering without the government church agency's approval. Bonhoeffer and Eberhard Bethge visited him in prison. The experience shook Bonhoeffer, though Fritz tried to put him at ease. Section 3. With Bonhoeffer in Kuzlin. By December 1937, the Confessing Church had decided to place 7 to 8 students in 2 locations, Kuzlin and Groß Schlonwitz. Fritz was released from jail on December 20, 1937. He went immediately to Kuzlin to continue the seminary work with Bonhoeffer. On January 11, 1938, the two attended a meeting of the Confessing Church leaders in Berlin to discuss seminary training. They were arrested and held for questioning and banned from meeting in Berlin. They returned to the work, which lasted over a year. In spring 1939, Bethge and Onisch accompanied Bonhoeffer to the Berlin airport. Bonhoeffer was headed to the United States for a sabbatical. By September 1939, Bonhoeffer had come home. World War II had begun, and Fritz had married Margaret, Bethge's sister. Onish's father had been in jail for preaching an anti-war sermon and for conducting a funeral for a communist. He was given a special pass to conduct the ceremony. Part 4. Faithful unto death. Fritz Onish became the leader of young confessing church pastors in Pomerania. Of the 300 or so pastors that first signed up with a confessing church in Pomerania, as few as 11 refused to accept approval of the government-approved church office. Fritz was one of them. Fritz and Margaret had hoped to work together in seminary ministry in Kuzlin. The war ended those hopes, but they were undeterred. When Fritz was tasked with confessing church administrative duties, they rented an apartment in Stettin, the home of the Pomeranian church offices. They eventually had 3 sons. Their first child, a daughter, died at birth in the midst of a bombing raid in Stettin. The couple opened their home to confessing church pastors on leave from the army. They fed and housed them at their own expense, thus living out Acts 4, 32-37. As time passed, the home became a shelter to refugees, including some Jews. Fritz visited and preached in churches, many of whose pastors were in the military. In May 1943, Onish's right leg was amputated, but he kept serving the churches. He also served his community as air raid warden in heavily bombed Stettin. As refugees increased and death tolls mounted, he encouraged Christians to open their homes and hearts to the outsider and to the hurting. In October 1944, he preached on loving and forgiving one another as a prerequisite for taking communion. With Stettin becoming so dangerous, the family settled back in Kuzlin. Onish preached in his home church on Christmas Day 1944. His 3 points were simple. God directs our time. God knows our fate. God wants to make us his children through his son. Fritz and Margaret decided not to leave their people when evacuation orders came. By March 4, 1945, the Soviet army was raping and slaughtering its way west to Berlin, avenging the suffering their people had endured from Germany. Fritz, Margaret, their children, and some neighbors were huddled in a cellar. Eyewitness details vary, but the result is the same. Soviet soldiers seized Fritz, took him away, and murdered him. The family found him 2 days later. Conclusion. Imperturbable endurance. Eberhard Baecke described his brother-in-law in one word, imperturbable. Once on the path of the cross of Christ, he did not waver, nor did his wife. They stayed on the path of sacrificial service. While our paths are different today, we do well to consider Onish's path of imperturbable faith and how we might emulate it. Our path may be forgotten on earth, but it will not be forgotten by God. Some days when I am weary, I think of Onish limping in the rubble, and I look ahead of him and I see Jesus. That gives me perspective and strength.